Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as we near the end of our fiscal year, I'd like to invite all of you who haven't done so already to consider standing with us prayerfully and financially. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And do remember that we have all kinds of resources available to equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. If you're not subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, you may want to consider remedying that condition as well. Again, you can subscribe to the journal on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We are now approaching Matthew chapter 9. We are in the midst of a study of God's Word. And I want to remind you not to take that for granted. For you and I have been called to memorize the Word of God, to meditate upon the Word of God, and then to mine the Word of God for all its substantial wealth. And this is precisely what we are doing. On the last broadcast, I was talking about Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus is in the region of the Gadarenes. Two men are possessed with demons. Jesus heals them. This miracle is so outstanding that the whole town hears about it. But how do they respond? Do they respond by saying, "Jesus, stay with us," or do they ask Jesus to leave? Well, the answer is given by St. Matthew. The whole town asked Jesus to leave. Why? Because they saw his power, his providence, his provision as loss, the loss of livelihood, the result of Christ healing the demoniacs meant that they lost revenue. They lost their pigs. They lost their swine. They lost what they considered most important. And I suppose it's easy to condemn them. But this text is meant for introspection. How do we react when Jesus makes himself manifest to us? And in Matthew chapter 9, we see Jesus doing this very thing, making himself ever more manifest. He steps into a boat. He crosses over and he comes to his own town. And there some men bring to him a paralytic who is lying on a mat. When Jesus sees their faith, and remember, faith is not just knowledge. It's not even agreement that the knowledge you have is correct. It means that you place your trust in Jesus. And Jesus sees their faith, sees their trust in him. And when he does, he says to the paralytic, "Take heart. Take heart, son, because your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart?" Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, "Get up and walk"? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man, the paralytic, got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe. They praised God. They praised God who had given such authority to men. This is an incredible passage of Scripture. Here, as with the other miracles of our Lord, we are confronted with indisputable evidence that Jesus is Lord of all, that Jesus Christ is divine, that this is God walking upon earth. The teachers of the law knew this. We know this as well. While the forgiveness of sins may not be visible to us, it may not be something that we can see with the naked eye, the healing of paralysis is evident. It is evident, and it is evidence that Jesus has both the power to forgive and he has the power to heal. The first achievement is thus verified by way of the second. The healing of the body demonstrating Christ's power to cleanse the soul as well. Only the wicked, those who refuse to believe, those entertaining evil in their hearts, can with premeditation and forethought deny that God in human flesh now stands before them. The teachers of the law, they do what ought to be unthinkable. They accuse Jesus of blasphemy. The crowds that were witness to the miracle had an entirely other reaction. Their reaction was reverence. It was awe. It was fear. They stood in the face of the majesty of Messiah. And as such, they were brought to the reality that the one who stood in their midst knew the very condition of their hearts. Imagine that. Imagine you standing in that particular location. Seeing that Jesus could not only heal, but discern the very thoughts of the heart, how would you react? Just as Jesus was well aware of the evil thoughts in the hearts of the teachers, so too, he was well aware of what was going on in the hearts of the people that were crowding around him. In some, we perceive three miracles in the healing of the paralytic, and the three collectively demonstrate conclusively that Jesus is, that he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Jesus knows the secrets of the heart. He forgives sins. And he heals by the authority of His Word. When we come back from the break, we'll find that Jesus passes on from Capernaum, and then He calls the very man whose gospel we are now studying. We come face to face with a man who was willing to leave all to follow Jesus. And we ask the question collectively, are we? Again, thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions are answered, particularly as we go through Matthew's gospel, answering questions that have been asked and maybe some that haven't been asked as well. We'll be right back with more, so please don't touch that dial.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians often encounter people who don't quite doubt the existence of God, they are just apathetic about Him. In the new book, Apatheism, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to faithfully display the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping His followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll return to Matthew's Gospel. We just saw Jesus doing the impossible, at least the impossible from a human standpoint. He heals a paralytic. No one can do that. But Jesus is God, and God can do all things. Now Jesus passes on from Capernaum, and he sees a man named Matthew. Matthew is sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he says to Matthew, "Follow me." And Matthew amazingly gets up and follows Jesus. And while Jesus is having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners come and eat with him and with his disciples. And when the Pharisees see this, they ask his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with these vile tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus says, "It is not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick." But go and learn what this means. What this means when I say, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but I have come to call the sinners." Here we get to the calling of the very man whose gospel we are in process of studying, the calling of Matthew. And I'm always struck by the brevity of Matthew's conversion. Conversion from a greedy tax collector to one who immediately makes a transition. He gets up and follows Jesus. He makes restitution. His life is immediately transformed. He makes an instant decision, a decision based on facts. He knows what everybody else knows. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the Anthropos, the God-man. And thus, seeing that, he decides to follow Jesus, an act of the will, to leave the pleasures of this world and follow Jesus Christ. What a contrast with the Pharisees. They too see that Christ is a miracle worker. They know that only he could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies. And yet they despise him in their hearts. Matthew, on the other hand, sees the miracle worker, sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and is willing, as it were, to give up all and to follow this Jesus. There's no hesitation. There's no compromise. Matthew enters into a life a perpetual repentance. His former fortune now seems trite in the light of Messiah. What that means, and think about this for a moment, ponder it. What that means is that Matthew leaves earthly vanities for eternal verities. He leaves those things that are vainglory, and he embraces those things that have eternal measure. And as a result, Matthew becomes a witness to the life, to the death, to the resurrection, and to the ascension of Jesus Christ. He becomes a witness to the birth of the early church, a birth that is chronicled in Acts chapter 2. And he himself perpetuates the growth of this early church by becoming a missionary to faraway lands. His life takes on a completely different hue. His gospel itself becomes proof positive that Jesus is the Christ foretold by the prophets, he and not another. In time, as tradition has it, Matthew now follows Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. The Master has ascended into heaven. Matthew travels to places like Syria and Media and Persia, and even beyond that. In fact, as holy tradition tells us, he establishes a church in faraway Ethiopia. And in the end, he pays the ultimate price. In the end, he dies a martyr's death. But as we know, just like Jesus, we never die. For absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. And even beyond that, we know the reality that Scripture gives us, the reality that one day Christ will return. And when Christ comes a second time, the soul and the body are reunited, and we will forever live in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is why Matthew immediately gives up vanity for that which is verity, for that which is certain, as certain for you as it was for him. Maybe I should say, as it is for him. Well, meanwhile, in St. Matthew's gospel narrative, we are told that shortly after Jesus says, "Follow me," and shortly after Matthew does that very thing, Jesus has dinner at his house, a house that is filled with what the Pharisees consider to be the vilest of all men, sinners of the worst sort. And upon seeing this, the self-righteous Pharisees ask what in the world Jesus was doing consorting with traitors and with thieves. Jesus' response is telling, for as he's made plain, he has not come for the righteous, but he has come for the unrighteous. Once again, we see the brilliance of Christ's response. Hopefully it's not lost on you. Doctors exist for sick people. Obviously, they don't exist for healthy people. If you're healthy, you don't go see the doctor. And with this word, Jesus exposes the Pharisees as being the sickest of all. So spiritually sick that they are blind to their own sad condition. Blind, moreover, to the reality that Jesus has come to save the lost. This was his mission. This was his mission then, and this continues to be his mission now. Jesus, in fact, regales the Pharisees with the words that they had implanted, as it were, on their foreheads, their phylacteries, the words of Hosea chapter 6. "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice." The Pharisees, they offered sacrifices in ritualistic fashion. They were blind to the reality that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Those are the very words proffered by King David. He knew that sacrifices made in sin are not efficacious. But a broken spirit, a contrite heart, God does not despise. My hope, my prayer is that Matthew's example will become the leading of your life, that we too, you and I, might immediately get up, leave all, follow Jesus Christ, and make a difference for time and for eternity. Thanks again for tuning into this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And again, as we near the end of our fiscal year, my prayer is that you will stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. As our thanks for standing with us in the battle for life and truth during the financially critical month of June, Hank would like to send you a copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care by Kyle Beshears. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-shaping outreaches during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.